know you can't meditate. If you a freak, then you come along with me. And I know what you came here to do. Not to let me see. Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
What's up, everybody? We are not in the Dog Bowl in Berea. We are in your old stomping grounds, Columbus, Ohio, right now, coming to you live from Eddie George's on High Street. If you're down here in Columbus for the Browns Orange and Browns scrimmage, come out and see us. They got drink specials going on. Come hang out, have a good time, and get ready for the Orange and Brown scrimmage tonight at the Shoe in front of 70,000 people. And I'll tell you what, get there early. It starts at 6, doors open 4:30. You want to get there early and beat the rush. We'll kind of remind you about that throughout the show. But, Matt, here we are in Columbus. There's a buzz in the city. How does it feel to be back for you?
It's great to be back down. I mean, I got here into Columbus right around campus about an hour ago. Drove right by Ohio Stadium, had the opportunity, you know, to yell back to my son in the backseat and go, hey, that's where Daddy played football. And, you know, just said, remember how you talk about the Ohio State Buckeyes? This is the university. This is the Ohio State University. Had the opportunity to drive by right by the stadium, you know, Morrill Tower on Cannon Drive. And I go, Daddy used to live right there. So just like reliving all those moments and memories, you know, on campus has been excellent. And, you know, got great friends came down as well who are sharing the festivities here for the Orange and Brown scrimmage. But all in all, great to get back down here. And for me, you know, so sparingly because of my career and now diving into what we do now, working up in Northeast Ohio, I don't get down here enough. I love it. There's so many changes. The new union is amazing. You know, what Mr. Wexner has done and continues to do down here in and around the campus has been amazing.
And it is great to be here in Columbus. As I said, there's a buzz here in the city for the Orange and Brown scrimmage. Again, 70,000 at the Shoe. If you can make it out to the Shoe, go out there and certainly have a good time. Get there early. Again, doors open at 4:30. It is going to be packed. If you can't make it, don't forget you can watch this game tonight on NFL Network, and you can also be in kind of a live tweet-up with the Gribbs, Andrew Gribble, on ClevelandBrowns.com. They're going to have like a live Q&A going on at ClevelandBrowns.com.
That's very cool, I think, for, you know, the Browns to be the feature on NFL Network, you know, down here at Ohio Stadium. 70,000 fans from all over Ohio converging on Ohio Stadium for a reason besides Ohio State football. Instead of Ohio State football, it's going to be a very unique setting. It's going to be a game-like setting for these players. And as I've mentioned all week on our show, as we knew, you know, the announcement that a scrimmage is going to be down here in Columbus, it should take precedence over the grind in Berea that we see each and every day. It's going to be different. It's going to feel different. The guys came down last night. They have the night in the hotel. I would hope that some of the veteran players who might have some type of limited role tonight in practice, either getting a rest day or kind of be on that pitch count that we talked about, share with these rookies what today is about, you know, the step that they took last year as a team at InfoCision Stadium at the University of Akron to really catapult themselves up the depth chart and show these coaches what they're made of.
And it is going to be the first real extensive live action of the season so far for these guys, so they're going to get to see some of that. Again, if you aren't able to make it, you can watch the scrimmage live tonight on NFL Network. Solomon Wilcots, who will be the analyst for the Browns preseason games on their TV broadcast, along with Mike Mayock, will be calling that action for you on the NFL Network here today. Now, the kid, he returns for the Friday forecast.
We missed him.
He'll be back. He wouldn't come down here. He's a Michigan man. He decided he wouldn't come to Columbus.
He could wear brown and orange and be safe.
He could have been safe. It would have been his easiest trip.
He would have mixed right in.
It would have been his easiest trip to Columbus ever. Also, got to give a shout-out to my boy Scott Lichtenstein, who wishes he could be down here. Huge Buckeye fan. And he wanted to come down just so he could tell Terrell Pryor that he once told me about Terrell Pryor a decade ago when he was a sophomore in high school. That's how much of a Buckeye fanatic was. He was already scouting sophomores in high school and Jeanette for recruiting purposes.
You're absolutely right. In the time that I've spent with him, he goes off about recruiting classes into 2018, you know, that I haven't even, you know, started to ponder at all. I'm just trying to wrap my head around of who are we going to be this year, which is going to be very impressive. And it will be great. I think today, as I mentioned earlier, driving by Ohio Stadium, I said to my wife, I said, you know what's crazy is 70,000 people is a lot of people.
Yeah.
More than can be held at First Energy Stadium. But 70,000 people in Ohio Stadium is going to look bare.
Right.
It's crazy because you're missing about 40,000 people from what Ohio State packs in to max capacity almost every Saturday.
You know, you never got the opportunity to do it, to don your NFL uniform and actually play in the shoe. What's it got to be like for Dante Whitner and Brian Hartline and Terrell Pryor, even though he's not going to play today, but to be able to walk into the shoe as a professional now in a Cleveland Browns uniform?
It's got to be great. It's going to be, you know, very close to their heart. There's going to be a little bit buzz about them, a little bit excitement. If I were them, I'd be pointing guys. You know, I walked into the locker room today down the stadium, you know, and I showed my son, hey, you see that picture right there? Does that guy look familiar wearing 35? And it was my picture from the 2002 National Championship and Big Ten Championship team to get to show that to him. So it'll be very special for those guys.
All right, we're going to go to the Ohio Business Machine Hotline right now and bring in the man who will be calling the action for the Browns on the television broadcast this preseason, as well as calling tonight's scrimmage on NFL Network with Mike Mayock. And that's our own Solomon Wilcott. Solomon, how are you?
Guys are doing great, and yeah, I'm excited about today's scrimmage. Excited about the upcoming season for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, so are we. And speaking of that, today will be kind of the first real look, kind of a practice plus, if you will, in the orange and brown scrimmage. What are your expectations? Just we'll take big picture, and then we'll drill down into some of the specific players, et cetera. But what big picture on where this Browns team is headed into 2015?
I think big picture is that you're going to see a more physical team, but particularly if they stay healthy on the offensive line. I think last year going in, we knew this offensive line was going to be pretty good. We just didn't anticipate Alex Mack going down to injury after, say, 5 or 6 games last year. And then they became maybe more mediocre. They stay healthy. They become a dominant offensive line in the National Football League. And they get better also on the defensive line. With first-round draft pick Danny Shelton out of the University of Washington. No more with this team be ranked dead last and defending the run. So I think we're going to see vast improvement, providing they stay healthy, on both the offensive and defensive line. And that makes them a real player in the National Football League, even within a very competitive AFC North division.
It definitely does, Solomon. And you talked about the addition of Danny Shelton, 12th overall pick by the Cleveland Browns. But I want your take on the remainder of the offseason moves made by Ray Farmer, acquiring Randy Starks, Dwayne Bowe, Josh McCown, Brian Hartline via free agency. And it's a bit of kind of a mix of old and new. Those old vets that I talked about coming here to Cleveland from a leadership standpoint, but the addition of 12 draft picks as well.
Well, there's no doubt about it. So they are able to infuse this roster with more young talent. I think they did a wonderful job in the draft. Take a look at their first two picks in the first round of Danny Shelton. Phenomenal player, a day one starter on your defensive line. He makes you better. But then Cameron Irving, he's got a battle, of course, for that starting center position. And to me, whether he's playing center or whether he's playing guard, whether he's starting or whether he isn't, gives you more depth on the offensive line to maybe absorb one of those injuries that clearly the offensive line struggled after they lost to Alex Mack 1 year ago. Now I think they have sort of buffered themselves from that kind of injury in 2015. So they're better on both the offense and defensive line, and they got younger in terms of being able to draft talent there. But you mentioned the addition of a Randy Starks, a guy who can play in this defense. He can play from day one. He's got experience. I love Brian Hartline, a former Ohio State Buckeye, as you guys were talking about previously. This guy is a possession receiver. He's going to be where he's supposed to be on the field. He's going to help who's ever playing quarterback, and he can move the chains. He did it when he was in Miami. I think he still has something left in the tank, and it remains to be seen if Dwayne Bowe can be a real prolific receiver. We know he's done it in the past. No touchdowns 1 year ago. We all know about that. But he's got to find his swagger back and be very productive in the offense. I don't think we're talking enough about Rob Hausler, the tight end who's going to join this mix. Obviously, it's going to be hard to replace Cameron Jordan, but Hausler is a very good tight end, and I think coupled with what's already there, I think they'll be fine at that position.
Talking with Solomon Wilcott, who will be calling tonight's Orange and Brown scrimmage for you on NFL Network, and will also be making the call for you throughout the preseason as well on the Browns television broadcast, so he will be getting you ready for the regular season with this team. When you look at this scrimmage tonight, you talked about the quarterbacks. What do you hope to see from Josh McCown and also Johnny Manziel? Some positive reports about him the last few days.
Yeah, I want to see Josh McCown be the leader that we know he is. You know, behind the scenes, for anyone who's been around Josh McCown, you know he's a sharp, well-tutored quarterback who really does work well with whomever is in the room. He has no problem with sharing the knowledge with other quarterbacks, being able to make other guys better, including his wide receivers, including the offensive linemen, because he communicates really well. He's almost like a coach on the field. So I want to see that translate into production, not just for him, but for the entire offense. And then I want to see Johnny Manziel be more of a student of the game, rely less on the instinctive plays that he made in college and show some growth and development in his ability to read coverages, to get the ball out of his hand, throw the ball with accuracy, and be able to move the chain, not by taking off and running at the first sign of pressure, but really at understanding where he needs to go with the football in the passing game and being able to dissect the defense and make plays with his arm. That's what I'm hoping to see from him. And I know if he can show that the homework has paid off, then I think that bodes well for the entire football team. And it certainly bodes well for him. But as he goes, if he can provide any kind of spark, you know that's going to make for a very positive experience in 2015.
Solomon, the AFC North last year was one, the best division in football, sending three teams to the playoffs, everyone besides the Cleveland Browns. As you mentioned in your open, you know, you like what Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine have done. They're building a bully, the ability to play great defense, and to run the football. Do you believe that this Cleveland Browns football team can stay in games long enough and have the playmakers both offensively and defensively to step up and make that play late in the game, as we see franchise teams or playoff teams do each and every year, to secure those wins, to stay in games and put together multiple wins in this division?
Yeah, I think we saw it last year. In fact, they beat every team in the division last year for the first time and got those wins. You guys remember early in the season, the game they had against Pittsburgh, they ran the ball down the Pittsburgh Steelers' throat. I mean, that was with a healthy offensive line. That was with a very young backfield. Of course, Ben Tate had been a veteran, but we saw Terrence West have a breakout game that week. I think Isaiah Crowell is going to be better now in his second year than he was at any time last year. You throw Duke Johnson in behind an offensive line that we've already talked about that we think will be improved, that has depth, that'll be able to sustain their productivity for the length of the 2015 season. I think that's the key. We saw them do everything that you just asked me about. We saw the Browns do that last year, but we saw them do it in the first half. Now can they sustain it throughout the course of an entire season? Can they get better as the season goes on? Will the quarterback production fall off on the back end? That's the part that remains to be seen. But I think everything that you want to see from the Browns, we saw in the first 8 weeks last year. Now it's about their ability to sustain it and be able to weather the storm of adversity when injuries hit or when some kind of setback creeps up. They need to be able to handle that and still keep going.
Let's talk with Solomon Wilcots now on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Solomon, you look at this defensive backfield, I think the secondary is, if not the best in the NFL, it is certainly in the top two, top three. But one guy that we wanted to be a big part of that was Justin Gilbert. It just hasn't materialized yet. I thought he gave a very interesting, is the word, interview last week about, or earlier this week, about his status with this team. You know a lot about being a defensive back in this league. What does he have to do to realize the potential that everybody saw in him when he was drafted eighth overall by the Browns last year?
He's just got to play with more confidence. And, you know, I think, you know, one of those things that when you get into this league, in terms of what they're asking him to do, they're asking him to be patient when he's got his back to the quarterback. When the ball is in the air and he's in that tight press man-to-man coverage, the receiver presumably has one step on him, and he's got to trust the fact that he's got speed to close. He's got to trust the fact that he's got length to be able to get his hands up and make a play on the ball. He's got to trust the fact that he's got speed, he's got the size at 6 feet, 202 pounds to be able to make up that difference. You know, the technique they're asking him to play is what you saw Hanford Dixon and Frank Minifield play going back even to the 80s. True press, bump and run, man-to-man coverage. And you know, we saw Joe Hayden maybe go have his bumps early in his career, learning to perfect the technique. But you've seen over the last 3 years, I don't think there's been anyone better than Joe Hayden at playing a true press, bump and run, man-to-man. It's the same that Revis played, that Joe Hayden is comfortable in it. He's had the rep. He's got a true understanding of what offenses are trying to do to him. So he's become a student of the game. Joe Hayden has never backed down from a challenge against any number one receiver in this league. And Justin Gilbert's got to adapt the same mentality. He's got to be able to play with the same swagger and confidence. I think the tools are there. The education and reps that are required to play at a high level, I think, is still coming. But the confidence has to be there. More importantly, I think you've seen this with Joe Hayden in the past. If someone catches a pass on you, what does Joe do? He comes back and he's like a determined pit bull. I mean, he doesn't back down at all. He comes back and makes a play. Justin Gilbert, if someone makes a play on him, he tends to hang his head, tends to lose confidence. And I think that's where the rubber meets the road for any defensive back in this league. Who are you once you've given up a play? And I think that's where he can get better in that area.
Solomon, one key factor that was sought out by Ray Farmer in this NFL draft of 2015 was to address not only to stop the run with Danny Shelton, but the pass rush. They drafted Nate Orchard, out of the University of Utah after 18 and a half sacks. He's going to play a role, but probably, you know, a system type of role or in certain types of schemes. They've also lost Barkevious Mingo for 4 to 6 weeks with that meniscus surgery that he's going to have cleaned up, I believe, today. Do you believe, with the way in which they're gonna win football games, that's running the football, playing great defense, that they have to have, you know, some complement to Paul Kruger's 11 and a half sacks on the other side, whether it's Mingo, Orchard, or Scott Solomon?
Well, I think Nate Orchard is the design plan. He was the second-round pick. When you look at his productivity in college, he is a true pass rusher. He can do a little bit more than that now. He can hold up against the run. He's savvy. He's got good footwork. When they drafted him, I thought to myself, at least, without me talking to anyone in the front office at this point in time, I thought when they drafted Nate Orchard, I said, this is a substitute for Barkevious Mingo. They've waited long enough for Mingo to come around, and they're still hoping that he does. But if he does it in 2015, they've got their answer. They have their depth. They have someone to play opposite of Paul Kruger. And Nate Orchard is a more natural pass rusher. He's got much of a greater body lean to be able to dip and rip and get underneath those large tackles. How he'll hold up against the run remains to be seen. But he's just got more football awareness than Mingo does. He hasn't played a whole lot prior to when he came into the National Football League. So I thought they were going out to draft a player just in case Mingo didn't come through. And now when you see Mingo being hurt and going under the knife or at least orthostatic surgery, you say, wow, how about that for a proactive measure by the Cleveland Browns draft? Go out and draft someone in case Mingo didn't hold up. And here we are already having to answer that question. So I think they're going to be fine. I think Forrest is going to hold up. I thought they did a really good job in terms of last year's draft when they landed Kirksey. He's a guy that can still play, even though we know he's inside. But they're going to be okay at the linebacker position. I like their linebackers. I love the secondary. And if they stay healthy on the defensive line, given their rotation, they should be really good there and much improved.
Talking with Solomon Wilcutt, we call the game tonight on NFL Network. He's also your preseason television analyst for the Cleveland Browns. Last one, Solomon. What's one thing that you could see tonight that you hope to see tonight coming out of this scrimmage that'll make you feel better about this team's ability to compete for the AFC North title this year?
The wide receivers. For me, I'm still curious when I look at all the talented receivers that have come out of the draft over the last 2 to 3 years. And the Cleveland Browns, mind you, I think we're smart in trying to build this team from the inside out. Offense, defensive line, Joe Petonio, players like him who they have not missed on. He is a phenomenal player. We don't talk about enough. But we still haven't seen that young, talented, special receiver be added to this group. So, that means they're going to have to live with guys like Dwayne Bowe. They're going to have to live with guys like Brian Hartline and Andrew Hawkins, okay? Pryor's not going to play today, but if he can be give them anything inside the red zone, that's going to be huge. So for me, I'm watching in this scrimmage and even in the preseason, but particularly today, as to whether or not they can make plays against some of the best defensive backs in the National Football League. I agree with you. As you said, I think the Browns have one of the better secondaries in the NFL. So if this group of receivers can make plays in today's scrimmage against this secondary group, then that's going to bode well for them. That's something I'm looking for today, but I'm also going to be tracking it throughout the preseason.
Solomon, thank you so much. Looking forward to your call tonight on NFL Network and, of course, all of your calls throughout the preseason on the new television home of the Cleveland Browns, WEWS News Channel 5. Thanks, Solomon.
All right, guys, keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thank you.
You got it. All right. We are here in Columbus. Everywhere you look, we're looking outside from Eddie George's. You see Browns t-shirts. You see Browns polos. You see
jerseys.
The new jerseys. You see everybody fired up for the Orange and Brown scrimmage here tonight. Again, 70,000 people going to pack into the Shoe. As the one and only Kevin Jones strolls into Eddie George's. Ladies, if there isn't a good enough reason to get here, now you've got one. KJ in the house. All right. We're coming back. We're going to open up the phone lines, 216-578-0850. Zagura and Wilhelm having a good time at Eddie George's on High Street. Come and see us here in Columbus as we get ready for the Orange and Brown tonight on ESPN 850 WKNR.